And so let's hit our final story so we can get it in the hour here. And it is the Rip Van Winkle decision. And the premise of the story is, what is it like for the family left behind on somebody when somebody travels using time dilation? What does it feel like, you know, as they're gone and when they come back? And how do they do that in 15 minutes or less? Enjoy. I know I did. Let's hope you do as well.
Rip Van Winkle's Decision by Matthew Warner. Hello, Mom. Yeah, I know, I know. You're lying there in your coffin, 6 feet under my toes, looking up at me and saying, why the hell weren't you at my funeral? Well, I was sick. I'm sorry. I know they've cured AIDS and Mars Colony Syndrome and we've reached the stars, but I'm 63 years old now, and I still got sick. I'm just sorry it had to happen on the day of your funeral. But at least I was there on the day you died, right? And at least I'm here now to pay my respects. God, look at me. A grown man standing here talking to a gravestone. Maybe when I was at the hospital, they removed my brain. Okay, enough joking. Mom, I just want to tell you about something. A story. I told it to you once when it was just you and me in your hospital room, but you were sedated, and I don't think you heard me. But now that you're dead, maybe... oh, I don't know. Maybe you'll hear me and know how much I love you. So here it goes. I would have loved to have told it as your eulogy, provided it wasn't still a classified military secret, of course. It's about how you once effected the most life-changing decision I've ever made, without even knowing about it. It happened 24 years ago. It was on a dark Sunday evening as the fall leaves stirred. Amy and I, you know, the granddaughter you haven't seen in so long, we were eating dinner at my cabin in the mountains. The hall of it, you still called it the telephone at the time, rang in my bedroom. I finished up my apple pie as I listened to Amy scream the call. Talk to me, is how she answered it. She was still a typical Space Academy upperclassman, overachieving, militant, ready to take on the universe the moment she reached outer space. Okay, I'll get him, Dad. I was already on my way to the Holovid's interview chamber. Actually, my chamber was just the front foyer. I sat down on a bench over a rack of cross-country ski boots. I tapped the face-to-face button, and the upper body of a space colonel materialized in the air before me. Mark, he said, you're looking good. My, this is unusual. Colonel Stewart calling me at my cabin. How you been, sir?
Well, I've been fine, and I know how you've been. I have your file.
He grinned and showed me his data tablet. I laughed. Oh, I'm sure military intelligence has a colorful file on me.
Indeed. How's your new teaching job at Space Academy? More comfortable than active duty?
Oh, so you mean that's not in the file? Oh, I'm enjoying it. It makes it easier to check up on my daughter, although she'll be graduating next week. I'm not sure what I'll do without her.
That's what I want to talk to you about. How'd you like to take a short leave of absence? I need you to courier something for me.
I was already intrigued. It must have been an important package for Stewart to call his former subordinate on the weekend. Oh, to where? Stewart stroked his mustache and looked at his feet. It was a pensive gesture I hadn't seen in a long time, and I missed it. It would be nice to work for him again, if I took the job.
The Antares Station, he said.
I gulped. The Antares Station? at that time was just a small civilian scientific outpost at the very limits of our reach across the galaxy. A sleeper ship wouldn't take months to reach it, but years. My short leave of absence would be 12 years, to be exact, in each direction. To me, being frozen in hypersleep, it would only be a few weeks, but such a trip would automatically qualify me for the RVW Distinguished Star. Now, you of all people might guess what RVW means. It's a reference to an old story about a man who wakes up after a lengthy coma. His name was Rip Van Winkle. He read it to me once when I was a kid. Anyway, it went against normal protocol for a courier to inquire about the contents of a package, but under the circumstances, I felt I had to. You'll have to tell me something more about what I'm carrying if you expect me to give up 24 years of ground time.
That's highly classified. I'm sorry.
Then forget it. Colonel Stewart's mustache disappeared momentarily as he sucked on his lip.
All right. The package contains plans for the construction of a military base near the Antares station.
A base? I paused, not sure what to ask next. Stewart would only go so far in what he revealed, but maybe I can infer a few things. Some scientist must have the government pretty concerned. Or is this simply to protect the future colony?
If I told you there would be a colony there one day, would you stop asking questions?
No, sir. I could tell by your face that would be just a smokescreen. Yeah, so what's the real reason?
You know, you always were my best officer. That's why I called you for this. I know you're smart and I can trust you.
Thank you, sir. Then I folded my hands in my lap and proceeded to stare at him. Finally, the colonel seemed to deflate.
Okay, Mark, but you gotta keep us quiet.
Of course.
In fact,
his holographic arm disappeared as he tapped a button out of my field of vision. A red filter snapped over the holoprojection, indicating the call was now encrypted. When he turned to me, he continued in a low, grave voice.
We're building a base as insurance against who's out there.
Out there? You mean in space?
Yes. We're in communication with parties beyond the Antares station, and one day they may stop being friendly.
My throat constricted. My breath sounded like a tea kettle. You're saying that... He nodded.
We now have proof we're not alone.
I rocked back on my bench. I leaned against the ski parkas hanging from the rack beside me. Holy crap!
I can't tell you much more, I'm sorry. You'll have to make a decision based on what I've already told you.
I swallowed and stroked my chin and mouth. My mind reeled with questions. Who were they? How did we make contact? What did they say to us, for God's sakes? But Colonel Stewart was right. I needed to focus on what was most pertinent, so I asked, why do you need a courier? Why can't you just send a package in a mail canister or email it?
Oh, I think that should be obvious. It could be intercepted. No, the package will be strictly Danicom only. We're willing to risk not having a base there for 12 years until you get there.
Danicom, at that time, was military jargon. It meant the encoding of messages in one's cellular proteins. It was mistakenly believed to be a way to communicate with the utmost secrecy. But I had enough information. The contents of the package, I realized, wouldn't be the deciding factor for me. It was strange to discover that, although I'd been offered a place in history books, a chance to play a role in the most momentous cusp of human history, that the calculus of my family would prove more important. I looked Colonel Stewart in the eye and steeled myself. I'm sorry, sir, but by the time I return home in 24 years, my older brother will be in his 60s, and my daughter, she'll be older than I am. She'll probably be married with kids. Stewart nodded.
but those kids will be your grandchildren. You'll still have plenty of time to participate in their lives.
What about my mother? She's 67 now. Stuart looked at me for a moment, then looked away. Perhaps nothing more needed to be said. He could do the math. Mom, you would have been 91 years old by the time I returned. And Stuart knew from his file on me that you didn't have the life expectancy the rest of us enjoy. Your lifespan would be more like that of a woman born in the 1940s. Still a long life, but we knew even then that by age 91, in your condition, you might not be able to recognize me anymore. You might be gone altogether. And as it turned out, I was right. Anyway, Stuart stroked his mustache.
I've met your mother. She's a strong woman and proud of you. She'll understand.
Yes, I think she would, but that doesn't mean I could bear possibly never seeing her again. I had just spoken to you on the hall of it a couple nights before. You were happy and bright-eyed, excited about selling the house and moving to a retirement community. You were full of plans to take trips here and there with your friends. You were exercising again, taking care of yourself, and you felt good. I imagine parting with you, hugging you goodbye, and seeing you cry. I felt the stab of loss. Colonel Stuart stared at me.
This is history, Mark.
And it's my life, sir. When I get back home, I'll still be in my 30s, but my mother will be old and gone. I'm sorry, but no, you'll have to find somebody else. The colonel nodded.
I understand. You're a good son to her.
Thank you, sir. A footstep sounded on the cabin's old wooden floors, and my daughter was beside me. I was grateful for her reassuring touch. Colonel Stuart peered up at her.
Amy, are you ready?
Yes, sir. I looked between them. What? What's going on?
I had to make the offer to you first, Mark. You're the most qualified, but Amy is also a promising candidate. This will put her on the fast track to a career in the upper brass.
My heart started to thud. I looked up at Amy. You've spoken to him about this? She couldn't meet my gaze. Colonel Stuart asked if I would be the courier, if you wouldn't. I said yes. Oh, God, was all I could say. So, here we are today. You know what happened next. The Antares military base ceased being a secret years ago when Earth learned it had alien neighbors. And Amy, she became a worldwide hero. I'm very proud of her. She's due home today, you know. I'm on my way to the spaceport now. It'll be strange to see her again. I haven't seen Amy in over 2 decades, and she'll still be 20 years old. I just wish you could have held out a little while longer to see her. In the meantime, Mom, I want you to know I don't regret my decision to stay here. You had a wonderful life. I'm glad I was with you during your golden years. Blood is indeed thicker than water, she used to tell me. Amen. Especially blood that, for some people, is worth nothing more than an envelope to carry a secret message or something to spill out in a theater of war. Your blood's cold and still now, but you should rest easy. You see, I'm carrying on your legacy, and so is Amy. We'll take it into the future, and if we're ever faced with this again, God help us to carry it into the stars.
Shitobe.